Ion, tell me about this Candida situation. Are the drops going to be a sufficient thing that people can do to mediate these Candida conditions they think they have?
Well, there you go, that they think they have. If you want to remove all Candida, you can do that, but you'll be dead. You've got to have a balance. There's a flora and a fauna, and we don't care what y'all say. You get rid of everything, and what comes back is going to be worse. You need to balance the embrace and keep it where it's not teeming and over control. Dr. Dean is probably the best one on the planet of managing it. There's no question. But she'll be the first one to say you don't want to completely eliminate it. Otherwise, we would just basically take a good stout Clorox bleach and we'd work you right out. But what comes back would be worse than what you call Candida.
So the drops will balance Candida?
Absolutely. And actually probably make it a little on the low side. Because, see, what is Candida? Candida is the body's needing. When you need something, that's that yeast expanding. Well, that's what happens in your body. Your body gets to a position where it hibernates and creates these things that are naturally blooming, as it were. That's not a bad thing, but if it's over-teeming, it's overrun, it's overproofing the bread. Well, that's not so good either, so you have to beat it down. The CO2 then starts concentrating again. But, Jenny Bell, the better question is, what's going on in this atmosphere that's making CO2 more prevalent in our atmosphere? Don't you find that just the oddest thing? That's why your Candida is kind of going crazy for some folks.
Okay. Didn't that have to do with the frequency that you were speaking of in one of the melting titaniums?
It does, but see, people are sensitive at different levels, as you know. They're sensitive at different levels. Some people know when to call a put, and some people know when to put a call, don't they, Brian?
Yes, and if you know, it'll serve you well.
Well.
Thanks for that. I appreciate that. I do.
Do.
I want to talk about chromosome 14, and also I think I read somewhere that chromosome 14 is also responsible for Alzheimer's.
I don't know that it's responsible for. We don't like responsible for.
I mean, when you go look at diseases of chromosome 14, Alzheimer's is at the top of the list.
Uh-huh.
They're pinpointing Alzheimer's as chromosome 14. So the RNA drops work through chromosome 14. To me, that's just the equation of this would be a really great solution for somebody approaching or with Alzheimer's.
Well, it's just not quite right because you got five of the acrocentric sequences, and one of those five is what you call DNA presenting of Alzheimer's, which is a condition. It's when you separate yourself. Let's go back. That natural biology builds mess stuff. The camera loves the other stuff. When you get folks who come down with Alzheimer's, they're afraid of dying, but they no longer want to live.
To me, that's actually a perfect explanation, being cross or being on the fence between living and dying. So just develop Alzheimer's and you won't even remember or you won't have any mindfulness about it.
The heterochromatic arm, that's where that's divided.
And we have a question for Martin.
Sure.
Do the chakras relate to ascension?
As long as you don't get your id in the way, it doesn't.
So the chakras are not necessary for ascension, but they are part of the body.
They're just centers of the body. It's like, is the leg a part necessary for ascension? No, but it's a part of the process.
They're organs. They're vortexes. Vortexes in the body system. You can parallel world through yourself.
No, Bob, the answer to that is 624 bacterial artificial chromosome back clones. 33.1 derived contain Down syndrome and Alzheimer's early onset, what you used to call senility.
Those are in the particular chakras or something else you're talking about?
No, we're talking about, she's talking answering her question with the RNA and the clone redundancy for old people's disease and chromosome 14.
I played an excerpt from June 2010 where you end the Melting Titanium saying, we are forever, da-da-da, RNA. Are you part of RNA?
Yes.
Are you part of the RNA drops?
We were.
You evolved out of it.
We proxied out, Bob.
Are the RNA drops from your world, Ion?
Our world is your world, darling.
The last time you were here, you said RNA drops are from where we come from.
That's correct. That's your world.
We come from ourselves, Eliza.
Is there a relationship between rocks and the meat sack?
Always.
Bert, that's your first
time. Made up of minerals. Made up of minerals, so are rocks. Hey, Bert.
Ion, I have a question about soul.
The stenographer.
In the Emerald Tablets, the soul is mentioned 100 times.
Good.
And you also stated in the Revelation series that we have to learn how to untie the soul.
Yes, because you find it. You give it all this information. It just records. When you cross it all up, well, sometimes I'm up, sometimes I'm down, sometimes I'm out, sometimes I'm in. You're over, you're under, everything a rabbit can do to a stump, and it doesn't know after them, but it just writes it down. So you've got to untangle all that, because that's why a belief is just a thought you've been thinking for a long time. And the more you keep carrying on, you tend to take yourself into something. It goes on and on and on and on. It goes into this dribble. You go over the line, you can't even pick it up. It's recording, you got it, all the words, every word's there, it's all right there. It's all right there, what does it mean? It's got to get all the words down. So that's what you got to sort out because you're just going over and under everything. In and out and over and under. Back and forth.
Okay.
In the Genesis series, which is a really great series, although it was just three tapes,
Thank you.
You mentioned that gods do not have a soul.
Right. Doesn't need it. The only reason you need a stenographer is if you're in trial. God's not in trial. The judge is on trial.
Non-physical was created for the little man. The ascended person doesn't need non-physical. The physical is everything, and it's expanded physical.
Okay, so this leads to my question then. Is there a relationship between chromosome 14 and the soul?
Of course.
Can you clarify that?
Do you want to do a little genome mapping? It's our specialty.
Yes.
Well, Ion, before you said that the soul remains in the earth.
Yes.
I saw an article one time where they can literally take a body of a person who's been burned in a fire, and they can assemble their DNA out of that carbon.
Yeah, they can. But there's no complete ribosomal RNA coding gene ever found on the chromosome 14 long arm. Never. The myocardial DNA insertion, they're characterized completely different. Because, see, you got like 1,500 that make 15,000 gene models. And the eight different categories, you break them all down. And the eight different categories, you can break them into individual little slices, ESTs, as they call it. And you can pull those down and get a homologous reference point. But even those, they just keep splintering. It goes on and on and on and on and on. So two sets of issues. One, we're dealing with the Alzheimer's things, which we think we've answered that. Now we're going into how 14 applies to the soul. And look at the interest here. The soul, the stenographer, separates in Alzheimer's, so they have no cognizant memory or knowing. The reason it's so damaging for the healthcare system is because people recover when they get Alzheimer's. They don't know that they hurt, so they don't hurt anymore. They don't know that this hurts them, or they can't eat this, or they can't do that, so they live. They get better. They got bad backs all their lives. They get Alzheimer's, and they get better because the body takes that away. Same way we're talking about here. Now, also it has to do with your candida as well from the inside balance. If you put this back together just right, y'all, you're going to do just good because you're going to answer Alzheimer's, soul, and candida all in one the same conversation. Because because of the wonderful things he does. Wait, no, it's not that. That's the Wizard of Oz. Hold on. Hang on.
Ion, did you say that the soul separates from a human creator that has Alzheimer's?
Yes. There's no reason
okay.
to record.
The soul so the soul disconnects from an Alzheimer's patient.
It doesn't disconnect. It just stops recording.
It's still there, just stops recording. This recording, now, the words that you said is it's recording unrealized creations, you know,
yes.
and then if you lay the meat sack body down, then those unrealized
yes.
creations go to go. But this recording
yes.
of the soul, does it have anything to do with the recording of the double helix strands, the
yeah,
DNA?
No. And those
okay.
that have Alzheimer's, if you notice, they only know what they remembered it was. And they get stopped at that place, and they never go further than that. It's in that space, or whatever their thing was, that's what they hook to, and it is that. They want to go to bed, they want to come up, they want to stay, whatever it is. They want a cookie. That's all they want, nothing else. And if you give them a cookie, they have it, then they want a cookie.
In Genesis, after God formed man from the dust, and he breathed the living soul into his nostrils, so you could say that he breathed the stenographer into his nostrils?
The fallen man is when you needed a stenographer. That's exactly right.
So that was the purpose of the breath into the nostrils.
That's exactly right. That's also what set up the vow of judgment that day.
In the Revelations, you mentioned that we need to learn how to untie the soul. Can you give us a clue? Just one clue.
I'll give you 100 clues. It's not a problem. You get so heavenly bound, you know, earthly good. Get out of this process of trying to figure things out. Don't figure them out. Do them. You're figuring
right.
yourself to death. You're figuring the figure. If you could figure. Does it figure?
Yes.
Can we figure? Liars always figure, but figures never lie. So get on with it. Try it. Embrace it. It's your chicken. Fuck it.
Thank you. Well, I want to address that right there. Look, I did, okay, the three-part process, right? Engage your non-physical, which we're doing right here, right now. Take the RNA drops and then allow the three-part process of ascension. We can lay out exactly what allow is and means and how it applies.
It varies to different people, but you're doing fine. No problem.
I get that whole process, but now your comments of this business about trying to figure it out and learn it and this, that, and the other, and I get that too, but I actually find great joy in trying to solve the parable.
You're not doing that. You're not doing that at all. You're using those painful positions. You are building bridges, not walls, Brian. That's the difference. Everything you get, you use to build a bridge, never a wall.
Yeah.
You never use
okay,
it.
So I, okay, so I'm thinking you're meaning something different than what I'm actually
yeah.
doing.
No, because what you're doing is you're taking all that, taking, parsing it to death, but you stretch
right.
it out to make a bridge to get somewhere else. So you don't
okay.
get it done. And that's good. Because if you get it done, you can't be God, because God's never done. Because there is no desire that an Alzheimer's patient doesn't achieve. And if you give it to them, they still don't achieve it. So it stops. There's nothing else to record.
So the stenographer is basically for recording desires?
No, it records everything, but it's for realized and unrealized creations. That's what the soul's for. Because in a little man's state, you need somebody to keep score. But when you're God, you don't need anybody to keep score. I want it. I got it. I want money. I got money. If you got money, you don't want it. Right? Where's my man? I want a man. Give me a man. Well, if you got a man, you don't want one.
You'd be like Calathea. How do I get rid of this motherfucker?
That's exactly right. I manifested him. Now, how'd I get shit of his damn ass? He's getting all up in my Kool-Aid.
What about with parasites? With the RNA and the REMAG, how does that work?
It works as it balances them. You want them, you see. You want parasites. Desperately, you want them.
What about viruses? Will you get rid of viruses, or will you utilize viruses, or you probably already do utilize viruses?
We like viruses. What you're going to find about viruses is when the H197 gets to a pretty critical level, the viruses are going to be great to get rid of some of you worthless sons of bitches that are in the way.
Oh, shit.
The only part of the very thing. So it's real handy for that.
Ayan, can you say more about the relationship between the soul and candida?
There is not one.
Did I hear you say that if we figured out candida and the soul and Alzheimer's?
Those are parallels. That one's not linked to the other. What it is the answer to candida, Alzheimer's, and the soul were addressed in that one thread when we were doing the gene sequencing. Chromosome 14.
Would parasites be included in that?
They sure would.
Thank you.
And arthritis and ipsiscites as well.
Ayan, are you talking about the chromosome 14 recording?
No, we're talking about chromosome 14, the chromosome.
Okay, you said it was addressed in the thread about the
gene sequence.
Yeah, we just did it.
Brian, go to your Halo questions.
Halo.
Well, I was just, when he mentioned that it was a high concentration of the noble gas, wasn't argon, was it?
Yeah.
Is the halo and the angels made up of the same material?
A version of it, yeah. The halo is concentrated.
So the halo is a form of communication angel. You use with the angels?
Good Lord, no. It's just argon. It's a hat. Okay. It's just around them and you notice it.
What's the interplay of speaking angel language and speaking to the angels, and how does that speaking affect the argon?
It doesn't. It's just what it speaks to. You drive. You would be a big fan blowing argon out of a building, an evac. You speak angel to the argon, and it evacuates it. You just drive it. You use it to your benefit.
In part of our process of creating, we use argon?
No, he's angel. He's angel. Angels are made up of argon. That's all we're saying. A form of division. It's just a type. It's exactly argon gas, but it's very close to it.
Is argon the only noble gas or anything that makes up angels? Are there other aspects to the makeup of angels besides argon?
Not the noble gas, no. There are some things that are not of this world that won't help you or hurt you. We'd say an unanimated portion of the program. Because otherwise there are some other worlds they have to apply because they couldn't go from other worlds. But remember, we already said there were some worlds that did not have angels, remember?
So you can even explain chemically the process of human creation.
Well, of course. That's easy. It's just a chromosome 14 translocation.
Translocation.
Yeah.
Via chromosome 14.
Yeah.
Is there any other chromosome that's as...
No.
So, Ayan, does that mean that we can't travel to worlds where argon does not exist?
You certainly may. You don't need angels to travel. See, you don't need angels to travel. That's not what you used to travel. But if you're going to talk to an angel and you go to a world without argon, there won't be any angels there. So you won't be able to talk to angels when you're there.
So we use angels here to create here.
Well, no, you don't create with angels. You tell angels what you want done. There's a butler.
So we don't create at all. We just tell the angels?
You create everything. You just tell the angels what you want done. You create it. They just do it. So if you want to smoke somebody and you don't want an issue or problem, then you just have the angel. And it says in the Bible, you can read the Bible, every nasty thing that God ever did on this planet, it says, and an angel of the Lord come and smoke their damn ashes. It's everywhere.
So if Bob sends his angels to smoke me, I don't need my angels to stop them from smoting me.
If Bob sends his angels, you go. You go.
Yes, I am. I'm reading Revelation. The
How's that working
here
for
that
you?
Very wonderfully. Thank you very much.
Good.
There's a note in here. Bob asks you, he says, if someone else was doing revelations, would their activities be seen in the symbols? And you responded, if they read Nostradamus and know how to ask the questions. You get my point, Carolyn, don't you?
We agree, yes.
And then Ion said, I mean, it's relative.
That means related.
Can you give us more words about that?
It's not to read Nostradamus. It's to see what Nostradamus was. He was a seer. He saw. He saw way beyond. It was ridiculously accurate. He saw outside the box. If you can see outside the box, then you can ask all the right questions. We love it when folks start asking us questions because it's, here's the perfect answer. Now you come up with the question. Basically. So in your looking, if you learn to note what's different, not what's the same, then you learn how to segregate or separate any bit of information. Bob is probably the best one of all of doing that. He does it the most ridiculous way of anybody on the planet, but he does it. So you've got to give him that. He goes through it, 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 and every time finds out something else is different. Oh, I didn't notice. That's in my chart. And all that stuff. But he's able to sift through all that ridiculousness that gets him into the position of knowing which is the perfect question to ask. That's why Nostradamus was always on that leading edge. Because he knew if he got too far out of the queen's business, she'd have his head chopped off. That affected the price of his relevancy. He knew the question asked because he was a seer. Now you take Nostradamus and then you bring that back into Revelation. Then you learn the perfect answer. The questions take care of themselves.
How was Nostradamus' work different than John Dee's? The key difference that you stated was that Nostradamus wrote about this time.
He was a seer. He was able to see.
John Dee's focus was for him on his time.
John Dee's only wrote about how he couldn't understand what it was he was bumped into. He only could get what was in a limited fractal of a ridiculous repose of what he thought was. It wasn't what it was. It's what he thought it was.
So Nostradamus's approach was less.
He said when Babylon was going to fall. There's things in the quatrains now that tell you what's fixing to take place now. From then, John Dee couldn't even figure out where he was to know where he was going.
And he relaxed and allowed in order to accomplish what he did.
Okay.
The difference I'm hearing between John Dee and Nostradamus is that Nostradamus, how'd he do that?
He came into a place of power.
He didn't try too hard.
Right. And that gave him pinpoint accuracy in the future, or the past, or the now.
Did I help him, Ion?
Of course.
Yeah, he knew me. John didn't.
He probably slept with Dave Webster. Just saying.
There's a significant difference between Bob and Carolyn and the rest of us. True?
Of course.
Okay. Can you say more words about that?
We can.
Will you, please?
We will not.
Why not?
Why not? Let's see. When I was more than 20, I heard a wise man say, give crowns and pounds and guineas, but not your heart away. When I was 1 in 20, I heard him say again, the heart out of the bosom is never given in vain. 'Tis paid with sighs of plenty and sold for endless rue. Now I am 2 in 20, and oh, 'tis true.
Yeah, Gene, he basically said I was Santa Claus, and that's appropriate.
He runs around the office saying, Merry fucking Christmas. Hi, Bob. Hi, Miss Brooks. Hi, Bob. With a beer back to John Forsythe.
What if sometimes you see future events? I've done it before, and then others sometimes into people's houses when I'm just coming in visions. And then all of a sudden, then I don't do it that much. What's wrong?
Nothing's wrong. Just relax with it. When you get all excited when it happens and you want to capture it so you can do it again, and that moves you off mark. Relax with it. Relax with it.
Oh, okay.
Get you a nice brandy. Not a bottle, just a little bit, and relax and just sort of flow with it, and you'll find it's easier. And then when you get there, okay, now, let me tell you, this is easy. Brian, sharpen up your little pencil. You're going to like this one now. Here we go.
I don't use pencils, Ion. You know that.
Well, we know this, but learn this little part. Here's a little trick to be able to do this effortlessly. There's a trick in your body. Some people are predisposed to having Charlie horses in their legs. They're horrible because the muscle just locks and it's just ripping and you can't, it's just terrible, terrible, terrible. Well, here's the trick. If you wake up in the night and you're going to have a Charlie horse, you flip over on your belly, stretch your foot out completely straight immediately. Now, that's the thing you can't do with a Charlie horse, but if you can flip over right quick and put your foot flat down so your toes are flat to the mattress and straight as they can be, what will happen is that the Charlie horse just goes away. It relaxes it to a point where you don't have a charting horse at all. Now, that takes just a little bit of practice to be able to flip over right quick and get down and extend that muscle so it doesn't lock up and pull, 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 pull. You'll feel it for a second, but then it'll relax. Then you don't have a charting horse anymore. The same way when you're popping into other realities, past, present, future, other worlds, other people, things, the same thing. It starts to lock up on you. Then you can't go. Just flip over, relax right quick, and you can go right on through it. Or if you're there and it's ripping you back, sometimes you rip yourself back. That's a white knuckle flight sometimes, but that feels like a Charlie horse sometimes. But if you flip over and stretch that out right quick, then you can stay. It's wonderful.
Oh, because sometimes I'm awake and sometimes I'm sleeping and I see things.
Correct. Yeah, Brian says that all the time.
They happen, though.
Yeah.
Let's now again ask about Brian. What the hell condition did Brian get himself in? Let's see if we get a new answer. You know, the sleeping in different worlds, the dreaming this world is. You got a new version on that? Are you dreaming now, Brian? Ask that.
Am I dreaming right now?
Well, no. As Bob is contrary as he always was. Yes. He puts the ante in the best protagonist you've ever had.
So has Brian ascended himself to be in this world?
Well, we'll see how his options go.
That was Brian 10 years ago, and that's still here, right, Ion? That's still going on, the Brian of 10 years ago.
Yeah. Actually, that might have been the best part of him. He was lean, mean, and clean.
10 years ago?
Yeah, when you were in the market. Was that before 9-1 or after?
10 years would be after.
So when was it, before or after 911?
Well, I don't know. What are we even talking about? What are we talking about?
You're Wall Street.
Oh, I was trading before 9/11.
That's what we're talking about.
No, wait. I don't know.
See, that's the other Brian.
Yeah, that's the old Brian we know.
Yeah, that's the old Brian we know.
No, it was after. It was. It was before and after, so there. Okay.
Then you start thinking about 911 and you get all paranoid and just ran into the truck and just stayed on the truck driving for 10 years.
With a battery.
No, I was already driving when 9/11 happened. Because I remember driving when it happened. Remember where I was? I was in Indiana.
Tell us about Rejoice.
I'm getting Rejoice into all kinds of things.
Good.
Really?
Yeah, I'm getting there after the angel business. I'm getting after, you know, what did we talk about last time? We talked about, the sixth and seventh book of Moses and Enoch and the whole line of Cain versus the line of Seth. And we talked about Genesis. But I haven't talked to her since. Yeah, that's probably, a month ago.
We love us a Rejoice.
The other day when you were talking about the vast space between neutrons and protons.
There we go.
The curious thing for me, this is like the Nostradamus thing. He noticed things that were different or left out, and it was interesting to me how you left out the whole interplay of the electron. And I thought, well, fucking the electron, that's where it's at, isn't it?
No, it's not where it's at.
aren't the electrons all about the covalent and bonding and...
Yeah, but the proton is what you're talking about, because everything, it's an electric charge of one.
Everything's an electric charge of what?
One proton.
So it's more about the proton than it is electrons.
Yes.
Which has a relationship with the nucleus.
Of course. Electrons come and go. They bond. That's what you bond with.
But okay.
Glue is not what it's about. It's what you're gluing together, which is protons.
There was a lot of protons in that fourth and fifth ring that we were talking about earlier with the astral.
Yeah, the C-122, H-197, O-98. Yeah, that one.
The 197, isn't that that's not the electrons. That's isotope.
H-197 is an isotope, yeah.
The protons.
The element is the proton.
That's why you see more protons in the angel diagram.
That would be right, yeah.
But that formula he gave was had to do with the interaction between the super sugar and the H-197.
Well, it is the super sugar. That's the formula for super sugar.
Oh, all of it's the super sugar.
Yeah.
Imagine that.
And you have so many carbons, 122, that's what's affecting the atmosphere.
Do. And yet changing CO.
Cider Somerset in England asked Brian to ask about the TV series Abrams is involved in Revolutions.
We like Believe better. It deals with the new change, and J.J. did it too, and it's coming. It's not quite here yet.
I was going to say, Believe isn't aired yet.
It's season two. Oh, and it's a champ. Let me tell you what it's all about. It's how an individual body has the power as a powerful god, and they're not sure how it works, but yet they have it. You do too. And it's the first stage where it actually takes the fringe to the next level, which allows you to practice your art until you can find out how great thou art.
Well, that'll be an interesting series.
Did one of the JWs who spends a lot of time in LA have some influence in that? You already said yes.
Answer. The Revolution is good too, but it's just not quite Jack Bauer, which is coming back, by the way.
What about the whole meme of the chipped body? In other words, the body being chipped, but not in the way that you think the body is being chipped.
You know what the chipped body is, so you're giving away the plot. And then whatever they say, you know better, so it's not going to be moving for you. It's like
the
monster under your bed. Once you know that the monster, you like him, then you don't have to make friends with him.
All I was pointing out was that was what, in my opinion, they were trying to express in the series was, even though probably a lot of people aren't even aware of it, because it would probably, you know, scare them more than anything.
If they knew what you knew, they'd be scared. If they knew what you know, they would be scared.
If I knew what I know, would I be scared?
It'd be a white-knuckle flight, I can assure you that.
Andrew, he says, are we moving to a silicon-based structure away from carbon ion?
No, but you're going to see more silica, because of the radiation, the influx of the radiation. It survives very easily with it. See, then you have an EMP and it wipes it all out, so you better nuzzle up that little body. But you all see everything is in the cloud, so we're just going to walk along with the cloud.
And break it.
You better put it all there, we say.
So it's not carbon or silicon, it's moving to less oxygen.
How very spectacular. I will say 10,000 ridiculous words, but then say the most perfect sentence of all.
What was the sentence? Repeat that gossip, Bob. Come on.
Okay, here we go. Instead of emphasizing the dialectic between silicon, and I didn't say dialectic before, but silicon and carbon, don't emphasize either, emphasize the decreasing of oxygen. That's the significant change coming.
Is it the decreasing of oxygen, or is it the application of oxygen that is going to
describe the difference.
The difference is if there's less oxygen, then that means there's less oxygen. If there's a shift in the application of oxygen, it doesn't mean that there's less oxygen.
There's certainly going to be no oxygen. There's going to be no oxygen. Y'all got this big idea that you want oxygen. But that's what oxidizes. That's what rots you.
If there's going to be no oxygen in your formula of the new skin or new body, there's oxygen in that formula.
That's a sugar. It's changing.
You mean the ALSO4-1, right, Brian?
Yeah.
Yeah. But there's an oxygen element in that.
It'll be an isotope.
The relationship with the protein will be dramatically different.
No, there won't be one. That'll be dramatically different. There won't be one.
There won't be a relationship between the protein and the isotope?
That's correct.
The protein won't bond with anything?
Oxygen, there won't be a protein. It's changing. There's big trouble here in River City.
What's the difference between an isotope and oxygen?
An isotope of oxygen is one that has a half-life. It's not stable. Oxygen is stable. If you take an isotope of oxygen, it's not stable.
Okay. So what is going to disappear?
It just keeps going half.
So what's going to disappear is the stable oxygen.
That's right.
While we stabilize hydrogen.
You stabilize hydrogen as an isotope.
That means there'll be nothing alcoholic-based alcohol?
There won't.
No alcohol.
Very good. You're right.
What's the world's population going to be like when there's no oxygen?
Perfect.
That's the exodus if there's no alcohol.
Yes.
No. There'll still be roxies, honey. Don't worry. You'll be all right.
That's not my favorite, Ayan.
Well, that's why they're legalizing marijuana.
Yeah, that's right. When they get the munchies, they'll be able to eat banana instead of burritos.
Yeah, there's oxygen in
Doritos. There you go.
Don't leave it alone, Eliza. Keep going with that. What's going to happen to these people? It depends on if they're taking the drops or not. Or what he said earlier, it depends on if, you know, with the increased radiation, if there's some still left standing, they'll be able to eat the manna, bread of life.
If there's no oxygen, what's the world's population going to be like? Is it going to be dramatically less than what it is today?
It'll be dramatically perfect. But the only ones that left will be the ascended ones.
The thing about the population, this is going to go back to the guff filling up and then the guff emptying. When everybody comes back, they're going to be perfect instead of less than needing oxygen.
Do
they just exhale? Is there a slight inhale?
Are we going there, Bob?
We discussed this on Rewrite. The exhale is your natural condition.
You don't breathe in. You only breathe out. You automatically breathe. You only have an exhale reflux. No inhale. Only exhale. You never inhale. You only exhale. And as you exhale, you create a vacuum that pulls air into you.
So we are
the only way you can breathe deep is by exhaling hard.
Did you mean reflex, not reflux?
Well, no, we actually meant reflux.
So what's the difference, Carolyn?
You've been back in the GERD days.
Well, reflux means like an exhale, but reflex is what he should have been saying, but he was lucky that he had an alibi.
We know GERD's disease very well, so it's good.
So we exhale, and there's a slight reflex, and that's
flux.
Reflux, and that's the inhale.
Another way of saying is it requires muscles and efforts to bring the breath in, but the body automatically releases the breath and exhales.
No, you must exhale air out or you will not inhale. You can't inhale by yourself. You don't. You only exhale. Inhalation is the natural response. Just the opposite of what you're saying. You must exhale.
So if you were
talking about breathe. No, they should say exhale.
because if you breathe out as much as you possibly can, it creates a strong vacuum and the air will be brought in.
In you breathe, yes. Notice when they breathe the breath of life into you, they move out. Do you get that?
The cry, yes. The first cry.
That's right.
Say it again.
Your first breath is an exhalation. When they breathed the stenographer into you, someone exhaled.
God exhaled.
Exhale first.
Yeah. Ta-da! And on that delicious note, we are totally, completely, and forever.
Thank you, Ion.
Thank you, Ion.
Thank you, Ion. Aloha.